Good afternoon today, beloved. Praise the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. The Word of God is marvelous. Amen. Almost always open up with something like that because I love the Word of God. We should never be teaching or preaching the Word of God if we're not digesting it, if we're not really looking into it. Many ministers today get their sermons off the internet or, you know, through a book of sermons, or through something they've heard somebody else teach, and rather than meditating in the Word and hearing from the Lord and then sharing what He is saying, they are thinking of what they want to talk about, and then they go to find scriptures to back up what they want to talk about. And it doesn't have anything to do with being a preacher of the true Word of God. Listen, the Word of God is more than, I want to be careful how I say this, because the Scriptures are the Lord's Word. But the Lord is not the book. He's a living being. Praise God. That's why the Bible says we do not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds. That's currently every word that proceeds from His mouth. It doesn't say every word that proceeded. We don't live on what God said yesterday. We live on what He is saying today. Now, God uses what He has said to continue saying things to us, to continue ministering to us. Anyone who emphasizes that we don't need the written word is obviously very mistaken and deceived. This written word that we have, it keeps us stable. It helps us to keep things in context, to not be deceived. Anything that God is saying right now is not going to contradict. It's not going to go against what He has said in the past, because God never changes. And so His word is vitally, vitally important. And we're not, a preacher of the word is not someone who has ideas that he wants to share with people, and then he goes and gets scriptures to back up his ideas. That is not a preacher of the word of God. A preacher of the word of God is someone who spends time with God and with the written word and His presence, meditating, praying, listening. And then what they hear God speak to them as they are seeking Him, as they are consecrating their own selves in His presence, they hear God speak to them through the Word, meditating on the written Word, listening, praying, and the Holy Spirit shows them what God is saying. And then that person goes and they deliver that Word to people who may be working a lot, and the common people that aren't called to ministry. They don't have time to pray 2, 3, 4 hours a day or more. And so they're working, they're doing different things. And so the minister of the Word of God is supposed to be taking his time to seek the presence of the Lord. I would say that any person who's in the ministry who doesn't spend at least, and I mean full-time, they're pastoring, they're ministering to people on a regular basis, and they don't spend at least a few hours a day in the Word of God and in prayer, just listening, that they're not doing what God's calling them to do. Now, I don't condemn people, but friend, we, in these dark days, it's vitally important that anyone called to minister God's rhema, anyone called to say to other people what God is actually saying, it is vitally important that people spend time with God. I was reading Luke chapter 10 over the last few days and wanting to do a devotion on it, but I just kept reading it and digesting it. And one of the first things we see in Luke chapter 10 is that Jesus said, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few." And I could feel His heart beat as I read that and saw that. And I thought about, at the time Jesus said that, there were religious workers, religious leaders, who were always part of the public square, always in the synagogue, always hanging out. Everywhere Jesus went, they were there.
And so there were multitudes of religious leaders. There were Sadducees and Pharisees. There were lawyers, or not our lawyers, but when they call lawyers in the Bible, it means teachers of the law. They were experts in the law of Moses. And these people were numerous, and they were everywhere. There were synagogue leaders. There were all kinds of religious leaders. And in that context, Jesus tells his disciples, pray for the Lord of the harvest to send workers into the harvest. For the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. So there were very few real, genuine workers in God's harvest field, though there were many religious leaders. And you can hear Jesus' heart cry. And I actually began to weep as I was praying and thinking about this, because, friend, there's never been a day where it's more difficult for a genuine minister of God's word. There's never been a day that it's more difficult. The church world, the religious world, the corporate church world is full of people and leaders who are participating in the tickling of ears. They're participating in delivering what people want to hear. Anything that makes people feel good, anything that comforts people. As I was doing a devotion a few days ago, talking about nothing can separate us from the love of God. And if you go and study that, what Paul's talking about is the suffering that we go through when we truly follow Jesus Christ. The persecution and the tribulation and the distress and the famine and the nakedness and the peril and the sword. And he listed seven things there that won't separate us from God's love. He wasn't talking about our sin. He wasn't talking about backsliding. And yet in all of almost every church today, when you hear nothing can separate us from the love of God, it's all about our iniquity. It's all about our failure to really follow God. And they're trying to comfort people and encourage people in their sin. And so today, it is so difficult to be a genuine minister of God and to pay the price necessary to be able to truly share what God is saying with gentleness and with respect. And to even for the natural man, it's very difficult to be able to share what God's saying without getting carnal, without getting angry, without getting frustrated. Jesus got angry at times, but his whole ministry, if you look, he's telling parables. He wasn't preaching at people. He wasn't spit wasn't flying out of his mouth while he was yelling at people about the lost coin or the man digging in the field. No, he got angry when he went in the temple, but Jesus always had gentleness. He always had a gentleness. He always had the life of the Father flowing. The fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace. And it's very difficult for any human being today to genuinely minister what God's saying in such a dark hour when everything comes against them. And friend, this and God said when I was reading this, we need to pray for genuine pastors. I'm not saying pray for people that aren't genuine. Many people in the ministry are not genuine. They're called to the ministry. They should not be in the ministry. They're trying to use it for personal gain. It doesn't have anything to do with a calling from God. And many of them are not even spiritual. They don't pray. They don't hear from God. They just go to the Bible and get scriptures to back up what they want to do with people, what they want to implement. And they'll use scriptures completely out of context, totally. And it's not coming from God. But there are preachers, none of them are perfect, but there are preachers even today that are going through much pressure, much difficulty because of all the troubles going on. Churches are almost empty now. I mean, many of them are going through great, great struggles and great battles. They're starting to rebound, but because of the corona thing last year, it's cost churches tons in finances and people attending, and many pastors are really beginning to go through fire. And the ones that are genuine, kind of like the 10 virgins, the ones that are genuine, when they're waking up, to reality, and they're trimming their lamps, and they're starting to pray again. They're starting to fast again. They're starting to seek God again, and they're starting to recognize that, man, we've got to get serious. This is real. This is real. The tribulation's coming, and then the great tribulation will come, and many will be left behind and stay in that. Many will not escape the wrath of God that's coming because they're walking in carnality. They're walking in the flesh. in so many different ways. And so as I was studying the scripture, you know, I just began to feel this groaning on the inside to pray for true men of God, to pray for true ministers who are genuinely called of God, even if they're backslidden right now, even if they're compromising, even if they're watching all kind of filth or whatever it may be. It doesn't mean that they're not genuine, but many of them are not. But there are some that are genuine that have simply been lulled to sleep. And so they've lost that fire. And the suffering they're going through is restoring the fire and restoring the passion that they have. The genuine Spirit of God in them is awakening their heart, is awakening them to the reality of the direness of the situation that we are all in. Listen, I've went to one church recently in the midst, when all this election stuff and the Capitol was attacked and all these different things going on, the censorship of all of our information, it's such a clear sign, friend, that the Antichrist is right at the precipice. He's coming. The Great Tribulation, friend, is in the near future. It's in the near future where Christians will be completely shut out of society. It's so clear. If you can't see it, you're blind as a bat with what's going on. I mean, the whole world is coming against conservatives right now, firing them from their jobs, censoring everything they're saying, taking away their accounts in social media. Friend, this is a picture. This is a precursor to what's coming on the church. And I went to a church when all this stuff is going on, and the pastor said nothing about anything about the end times, nothing about repentance, nothing about prayer. As a matter of fact, the pastor actually got up in the service and mocked prayer and said, "We don't return to the God by prayer. We return to God with tithe." And his whole ministry right now is tithe, 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 tithe. And it's like, oh my goodness, man, in the midst of all of this stuff going on, that's where your focus is? And I knew the person, so I know that's where their focus is anyway. But I thought for sure when all of this trouble was happening, it would stir them to something genuine. But friend, you can't be stirred to something genuine if you've never had anything genuine. But on the other hand, there are many pastors and many ministers now that are being stirred up in their preaching. We've got to repent. We've got to turn back to God. We've got to get our hearts ready because of what we're seeing. So friend, I with Jesus, I ask in Jesus' name, pray for the Lord of the harvest to send forth workers in the harvest. You know how hard it is right now for a genuine person who loves God to really answer the call to ministry? To answer the call to ministry, friend, no churches will have a genuine person who's really going, almost none, not in America. Now, in other countries, shoot, you can preach every day, all day long in every church. Why? Because the people that are suffering and hungry and people that don't have money, they're willing to listen to the gospel. But in America, if you don't have a feel-good message, you can forget it. If you have a message that's going to challenge people, that's going to scare people, you can forget it. Pastors are not going to have you come in their church and mess up their thing. They're not going to do it. So how in the world are people going to answer the call to ministry these days when the price is so high? And so there is a massive harvest out there. Every time I start talking to people about the genuine gospel and I'm walking in the anointing of God, I mean, it just captures their attention. And they start listening and they start having to count the cost. And many of them, it's causing them to get into the Word of God. It's causing them to pray. Some not. But many, it's causing them to their thinking to shift. So there is a harvest. There's a massive harvest out there of people who are ready to hear the Word of God. We are in a famine right now for the genuine Word of God. I don't want to get too emotional about it, but we are. We're in a famine. We're in a famine for the real Word of God. The preachers who really preach the Word and heard from God and fasted and prayed and sought His face and brought what He was saying to the people, the true prophets who warned of the coming wrath of God and the judgment, almost all of them are gone. They almost have all died and passed on and went on to be with the Lord. And now we've got a bunch of people tickling people's ears and preaching all kinds of spiritual mysticism that doesn't have anything really to do with the kingdom of God. And almost every foundation is the same now. It's false. It's completely false teachers. Many of them, they believe in God, but they're false teachers because their foundation is that God wants to bless your life. That's not the scripture. That God wants to make your dreams come true. That's not the scripture. That God embraces you the way you are. That's not the gospel. It's not true. God did not come to do any of that. He is not here to make our dreams come true. As a matter of fact, if we don't turn away from our dream, if we don't turn away from our own desires, if we don't turn away from ourselves and suffer the consequences because of the rejection that it will result, if we don't do that, we can't even be His disciples. If you look at the apostles and what Jesus taught and how genuine believers lived in the beginning, they were ostracized from society. They were hated. They were rejected. They lost things. Jesus was constantly saying, if you want me, give up this world. Give up. He even told a whole crowd, go sell the things you have. Give the money to the poor and you'll have treasures in heaven. Why would he say stuff like that? Why would he say, if you don't hate your own life, you can't be my disciple? This is the real gospel. We're not hearing anything even similar today to this. Now, there are some ministers, you know, that have really begun to be awakened to a lot of the fallacies and the nonsense and the false things being taught. Many of them are being awakened. Francis Chan, if you listen to some of the stuff he's saying, he was awakened. He left his mega church, walked out. He said, I'll never go back in the building. He started having services outside and finally left the whole thing. He said, this is not God. This is not the kingdom of God. If you read the Bible, what we're doing is not the kingdom of God. And so he's finally abandoned that. Now he teaches a lot deeper messages. Now, I don't know if he has the full package. When I hear him, there's some things I see that are missing. You know, we have to know that we died with Jesus Christ. It's not a matter of just giving up our stuff for the poor. That if you think you can do all that, you don't understand the true gospel. The true gospel is that none of us could produce. That's why we had to die. So let me hit this one more thing that I really wanted to get into today for time's sake. As I'm studying Luke chapter 10, Jesus comes across a lawyer or a teacher of the law. This would be what the Bible calls an expert in the law of Moses. And this expert in the law of Moses came up to Jesus to test him. And he said, Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Now, please hear this, because I want to show you the gospel. Almost everybody, Christians, especially Christians, are blinded to what the real gospel is. And they are teaching things that are totally contrary to the real gospel. And the reason they're doing it is because they do not want to give up their own lives. They want God to bless their lives. They do not like the gospel that you have to hate your life to walk in His. They hate that. They don't want it. So they've made up all kinds of creative gospels that are not the true one to deceive people. Now watch this, because many Christians now are saying, we're going to get back to this little passage. Many Christians are saying we are no longer under the law of Moses. We are now under the law of love. That Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. And this is what we need to do. Listen, friend, they are completely deceived. This is not the gospel. And it may sound good what they're saying, but they're actually saying it not because they are really genuinely loving God with all of their heart. They're saying it because they don't want to give up their lives. And the real gospel is too costly. They don't want that. They still want something to do so that they can inherit life. And so watch this. This lawyer comes up to Jesus, expert in the law, to test him. And he says, Teacher, what shall we do? What shall I do? Let me get that right. What shall I do to inherit? What shall I do to get eternal life? And Jesus said to him, what is written in the law? Now, remember, he's talking to an expert in the law of Moses. Jesus looks at this expert in the law of Moses. He says, what is written in the law? Don't miss this. How does it read to you? He asked the expert in the law, what is written in the law? How do you interpret it? Is what he asked this expert in the law. Now watch, the expert answers in Luke chapter 10, verse 27. And the expert of the law answers Jesus and says, you shall love the Lord your God. This is how I interpret the law. the expert says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, and all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus said to the expert in the law, you've answered correctly. You have interpreted the law correctly, Jesus says. Now go and do this, and you will live. Now watch this. The expert in the law comes, and he says, what do I need to do to inherit life? And Jesus says, well, how do you interpret the law? And he says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and your neighbors yourself. Jesus said, okay, you have interpreted the law, friend, not the gospel. You've interpreted the law correctly. Now you go and do that, and you will live. Now here's where Paul teaches us. The law said he who does these things will live. This is exactly what Jesus said. Go and do that and you will live. But Paul tells us the problem is no one could do it. No one ever did it except for Jesus. No one has ever, except for Jesus, no one has ever loved the Lord God with all their heart, all their soul, all their mind, and all their strength. And no one has ever, except for Jesus, loved their neighbor as themselves all the time. No one has ever done it. No one can do it. Not because it's because of what we are. It's not because of our behavior. It's because of what we are. We cannot do that because we are not righteous beings. Only the life of God is a righteous and pure and holy being. So what Jesus says here, he's not changing the law of Moses, friend. He's not saying, okay, we're no longer under the law of Moses. Now we're under the law of love the Lord your God. He never does that. Every single time Jesus mentions love the Lord your God with all your heart, he's describing the law. He is summarizing the law. Now, if we do not understand the gospel, then we can misunderstand this. Jesus is not saying we can do this and get into life. If you can, if you go and do it, friend, you'll get life. You don't even need the cross. You don't even need the blood. You don't even need to be born again. If you can go and love the Lord your God with all, who does that? Do you know the Bible said that Jesus only said what he heard the Father say? He only did what he saw the Father do. He never did anything, ever. He never gave his mind to anything that wasn't 100% the Father. Why? Because he loved the Lord his God with all of his mind. Friend, the idea that we can even possibly attempt to get close to obeying the true law of Moses, to love the Lord your God with all your mind. No human being will ever even come close to that. And it's a travesty that people are now preaching, okay, we're no longer under the commands of Moses. Now we're under the law of love. If we'll love the Lord our God, friend, if that's true, then none of us are going to fulfill the new law. And it's not a new law. What Jesus was doing was continuing to preach the law of Moses. And then when people were at their wits' end, when people said, then who can be saved then? When people said, nobody's ever done it, Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. Eat of me and drink of me, or you have no life in you. Now, he just told the teacher of the law, go and do that, and you will have life. But then Jesus told the crowd later, eat of me and drink of me, or you have what? No life. It's the same word. Go and do that, and you'll have Zoe. Go and do that, teacher of the law. Go and do that, Christian. If you can go love the Lord with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and all your strength, and you can always love your neighbor as yourself, then go do it, and you'll have Zoe. Go do it. But if you can't, friend, you need Jesus. If you can't, you need to be born again. If you can't accomplish that, go ahead and try it. But if you can't accomplish that, you're going to have to hate your own life because it can't accomplish that. This is the true gospel. The true gospel is you've got to hate your own life that does not love the Lord your God with all its heart, mind, soul, and strength. You've got to hate your own life that will never love its neighbor as itself all the time. It can't, it won't, it never will do that, ever. So the true gospel is, hate your own life. You had to die. This is what people don't want. They don't want to hate their life. So the same people, listen to this, don't miss this. The same people teaching us that we're under a new law, a law of love, that if we love the Lord and love people, this is what God wants. The same people teaching that are the same people that tell you God loves you and has a plan for your life, that God wants to make your dreams come true, that God wants to fulfill your desires. These are the same people, the same liars. And friend, you might think that's a harsh word, but the Bible said, let God be true and all men liars. Every Adam is a liar, including me. Anything I'm saying that's not coming from the Father, I'm lying. But if I'm telling you what's coming from the Father, and I'm telling you what's coming from the Word, I'm telling you the only truth that there is. And so ministers today, all these people standing around, we're preaching that God loves your life. God wants to make your dreams come true. And now they're saying, we're not under the law of Moses, we're under the law of love. If we'll just love God and love each other, and they're the same liars. They do not want to give up their life. So they're not telling you, if you don't hate your life, you are going to be lost. They're not preaching that. You will not find a single popular preacher today preaching that. You will not find a single popular preacher today preaching, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow Jesus. And friend, that is the only gospel that there is. Jesus said, daily take up your cross. He didn't say take it up one time. He didn't say take it up and now you don't have to take it up again. So much deception has creeped into the body of Christ. Because these popular teachers that are all looking pretty and saying things smoothly, people go, wow, what a revelation. You can even hear people go, out in the crowd while they're preaching. And it's all complete deception. It's all complete deception. They're not telling anybody to deny themselves. They're telling people that God loves their self and God wants to bless their self. And if they'll give offerings and sow seeds and believe these deep things, that God's going to make their dreams come true, that God's going to put them on the top, that God's going to make them special. Oh my goodness, friend, it is absolute total lies. And somebody, I've had people say, man, you're so negative. Listen, the most positive thing in the world is to believe in the kingdom of God, the true kingdom of God. But if you go and listen to Jesus' ministry, listen to Paul's ministry, they're always showing what is not. Jesus was constantly talking about destruction and the hell that was coming and the wrath that was coming and the judgment that was coming. And he said, I am the only way. If I am the only way to the Father, there's only one way to the Father. It's the life of Jesus. It's not you loving your neighbor. It's not you loving God. You can try to do that. You should try to do that. And if you're walking in the life of Jesus, you will do that. And more as his life is manifesting, because his life is the only life that loves the Father. The more I hate Jeff and the more I turn away from me, the more I don't want to do anything. I don't want to. It's not that I'm trying to fight it every day. I don't want to do anything that's not from the Father. I don't want to watch TV. I don't want to do things. I don't want to listen to things and give my mind to them. This is what people don't want to hear. They don't want to hear this because this is too much. They don't want to give up their own life. They start saying, oh my goodness, brother, you're a legalist. You're telling people they can't watch TV. I don't tell people they can't watch TV. What I do say is, if we are doing things that the world does, and if we love the same things the world does, then we're walking in our own life. That's what people don't want to hear, because they don't want to hear you have to hate your own life, you have to give up your own life to truly have the life of Jesus Christ. So God told me, because all the junk began to creep into me too, the leaven, he told me, turn it off. Put their books down. They are full of leaven and lies. And they have, and I'm talking about the modern day teachers. They have smooth, wonderful sounding things, but they're lies. One of my favorite teachers for a while, I began to look at his book cover. And man, all of a sudden, God opened my eyes and I saw it right on the book cover. It says, live an effortless life of success. How you can live an effortless life of success. This is not the gospel. Jesus said, make every effort to enter into the narrow gate, for few there be that find it. And here we have these smooth teachers telling us we can live a life with no effort, and we can have great success, and we can have great favor, and God can make us wealthy, and God can put us on the top. They're telling people that so they can sell these books, and they are millionaires many times over because of their deceiving people. They are deceiving people and using the life of Adam to empower themselves and to get wealthy off of tickling people's ears and telling people what they want to hear. And the results of what these teachers are telling people is that people are getting bound in iniquity more than they ever were before they ever believed in God in the first place. And friend, there is a hell that is coming for all of these false teachers. So we've got to pray, God, raise up laborers, raise up workers, and send them into your harvest field with the true gospel. But friend, it's very difficult for someone to answer this call today. Who's going to support them? Who's going to listen to them? Who's going to believe what they're saying? It's just like in the Old Testament when God would genuinely speak to somebody like Jeremiah, Isaiah, Ezekiel, Daniel. When God would genuinely speak to somebody, they were a prophet. They were telling the people what God was saying. And nobody wanted to hear it. There were many false prophets that everybody wanted to hear. They were saying, God's going to give you the victory. God's going to break the yoke of bondage. God's going to deliver you. God's going to set us free. We're not going into captivity. We're not going to be judged. Don't listen to those doomsday prophets. Don't listen to Isaiah. Don't listen to Jeremiah. Don't listen to Ezekiel. And so all the people hated Jeremiah, hated Isaiah, hated Ezekiel. They hated the real prophets. Why? Because they had all of these false prophets there telling them how everything was going to get better, how God was going to break the yoke of bondage, and God was going to give them the victory. And God, listen, if you didn't see this during the last election, all of these false teachers, and now people are just glaring over it. People are just covering it up as if it never happened. All of these false teachers that are telling us God loves our life and wants to bless it, they were all prophesying that Donald Trump would win the election. Almost every one of them, to the last one, were prophesying that Donald Trump would win the election. And every one of them were wrong. And only a few of them have even said anything about it. Now they're all changing their tune as they do every time their lies are exposed. They continue to change their tune. And you can go back year after year and find things that they've said that didn't happen. Why? Because they are liars. They are not genuine prophets of God. They are prophesying out of their own desires, out of their own soul. They're prophesying what men want to hear and what they want to hear. They don't even realize they're doing it. They're deceived because spirituality is spirituality. Friend, you can meditate and chant Buddha and you'll feel tingles. You can meditate and chant Hare Krishna and you will feel spirits. You will feel the spiritual realm. And these people are deceived because when they pray, when they worship, they feel something. And they're having all these thoughts inside, all these great, grandiose thoughts of how God's going to put us on the top and give us the victory. And they're declaring these things, and people love to hear it. People buy their books. They're getting rich, man. They got big, beautiful homes and big, nice cars. Everything's going well. Their bank accounts are fat. And, man, they love it. And they don't want to give up their life. They're not preaching, deny yourself, take up your cross. You can forget it. They'll never tell you that. Never will they tell you that. Why? Because you'll stop giving to them. And so, friend, today this world is slam full of false teachers, and the premise, the foundation's always the same. Prosperity. It's always the same. God loves your life. He wants to bless your life. Oh my. May God deliver us, and may God raise up genuine prophets, genuine preachers of the genuine gospel. Deny yourself. Take up your cross daily. And go after the life of Jesus. If you love this world, friend, you do not. The love of the Father is not in you. If you love your life, you're going to lose it. If you think God's here to make your dreams come true, you have been lied to. There's nothing wrong with making money. There's nothing wrong with using the system of the world. But if you like money, if you're going after money, if money is important to you, then you're not walking in the life of God. Jesus said you will hate one and you will love the other. There's no gray area between it. I'm learning as I'm walking in the life of God, I use money, but I hate it. I hate the system. I hate it completely. Well, I despise it. It's all built on selfishness and self-centeredness, and I hate it. I wish it didn't exist. I wish we were all just serving one another, meeting each other's needs, and we didn't have to have this wicked, filthy monetary system that came from Satan. And you heard me say it right. It came from Satan. That's why Jesus hated it. And if you love it and you want self-gain and you actually will manipulate manipulate people. Preachers are manipulating people. If you don't give your tithe, you're going to be cursed. But their whole foundation for that is covetousness. Their foundation for that is I want more. I want my church bigger. I want financial freedom. I've heard them tell me I'm looking for financial freedom. And that's why they're pushing tithing all the time. And amazing, they take scriptures out of context to try to push people to promote their own self. And they don't even realize they're doing it. But if you listen to them when they're preaching, they're always talking about themselves, always talking about how they're gaining ground. And you can gain ground too if you'll give to them, if you'll sow seeds, it is satanic to its core. And we need to pray for God to send up, to raise up and send true workers into the harvest field. The harvest is ripe. It's plentiful. There are many people out there ready to hear. There's a famine for the true word of God. And when I preach to people, listen, I preached to a guy recently. I was doing the census work. He's been a Christian for like 40 years. He teaches Sunday school in his church. He's never been a full-time pastor, but he's always been teaching the word. And I began to share with him how Jesus did not come to embrace our life. He came to crucify it. And if we love it, we will lose it. He looked at me and he said, "Who told you? Where did you hear that?" He said, "Where did you hear that from?" He said, "I have never heard." Listen, this is a guy teaching the word of God. I know he's taught those scriptures, but he never really heard it. Because when I was saying it, it was coming from God. I wasn't quoting a scripture. I was talking to him and telling him the truth. And he was shocked. He was dumbfounded. He said, "I have never heard anybody talk like that." He said, "Who did you learn that from?" He said, "What school did you go to?" And I said, "Man, I went to school, but I'm not telling you what I heard in school. I'm telling you what I've heard from the Lord. I pastored for years, and he had to rebuke me, and he had to correct me and show me how I was caught up in things that weren't really the kingdom of God." I'm not saying pastoring's not the kingdom of God, but I'm saying that a lot of the things I was believing and thinking that God's going to promote me, that I'm going to gain ground, it wasn't coming from the Lord. And he began to show me that much of what I was doing was not because I hated my life, it was because I loved my life. And man, this brother was standing there talking to me. He's like 60 years old. He starts crying. He started weeping. "Why are you sitting there talking to me?" And he said, "I need God." He said, "I need God." I said, "We both do." And I started weeping with him. And we began to pray, "God, forgive us and have mercy on us. We don't want our life. We want yours." That's genuine kingdom, friend. That's the real gospel. And friend, may God raise up laborers who are willing to face the consequences of preaching the true thing, because it will be costly. It will be deeply costly. Oh Lord, for time's sake, I went quite a ways for devotion today. But may God give us the grace to really hear from the Lord. And friend, I encourage you, get away from false things, false books, false teachers on TV, false ministries, and fellowship with people who really believe we have to deny our own selves. We have to turn away from our life. We have to believe only in the life of Jesus and lay hold of it, or we will be lost. We have to watch and pray to be counted worthy to escape the wrath of God that is coming on all unrighteousness, friend. And it's going to start in the church, where God's going to send his angels and remove everything that causes stumbling. All of these liars, all of this deception, all of this deep darkness about God loving our life and wanting to make our dreams come true. God is sending forth his angels, friend, and they will remove them. They're not just going to take them out. They're going to bundle them up and throw them in a burning oven of fire. And that fire is tribulation. That fire is pain. That fire is misery. Most of these ministers today who are smiling and building big houses, they are going to end up in fire like they've never dreamed, and sorrows like they've never imagined. God, let me taste it. I know what's coming. The sorrows are so deep they want to kill themselves every day. In the great tribulation, people will try to hide under rocks, saying, "Hide me from the wrath of God." They'll try to die and they can't die. They'll try to commit suicide and it won't work. Friend, the sorrows that are coming upon the deceivers, that are coming upon the liars, and we need to make sure we're not a part of it because it'll hit us too. We've got to get out of this stuff and get into the Word of God and listen to what He's saying and meditate on His Word and believe the true gospel. Friend, I'm not preaching a gospel of works. I'm not preaching you can work your way into heaven. I'm preaching the opposite. The ones who say God loves your life, they're the ones preaching the gospel of works. They're the ones saying if you'll love God and love each other, that's all God wants you to do, and that's enough. Listen, that is not it. If we do not hate our own life, we can't have His life. His life is the only one that produces true righteousness. It's not a matter, if you go and stop watching TV and never do anything the world does, you're still not walking in the life of Jesus. But if you begin to hate your life and you begin to seek His, and by hating your life, you turn away from these things of the world and you start entering into the life of Jesus, now you're beginning to get the true gospel. Now you won't want to watch garbage. Now you won't want to say anything stupid. Now you won't want to go do things the world wants to do. Why? Because you're walking in the life of Jesus, and it only wants to do what it sees the Father do. It only wants to say what it hears the Father say, and it's peaceful and wonderful and marvelous. But oh, the hell you'll have to pay in this world for walking in it. The persecution, the tribulation, the distress that's coming on the true believer, the nakedness and the famine and the peril and the sword. Friend, it's coming. The sword is coming, where people, if they don't kill you physically, they'll kill you spiritually. They will have nothing. They'll cut you off. They will cut you off. This world will cut us off. We won't even be able to get a job soon if we're walking in the life of Jesus. So friend, in Jesus' name, may God awaken us. May God open our eyes. May God bring us to the real gospel, to hate our own life and to daily take up our cross and walk after the life of Jesus. I hate my life, Lord. I want yours. If we're praying, God bless my life, God give my life what it wants, we're deceived. So may God deliver us in Jesus' name. I love you today, oh beloved. I love you today in the name of Jesus, and I pray that God will help you. If you're still listening to these devotions, whew, you've come a long ways. Praise the Lord. May God give you grace to continue in His Word. And if you do so, you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. In Jesus' name, amen.